All right, welcome to March 22nd on Joe's Daily U.S. History Lesson.
I'm your host, Joseph DeCristoforo, and on this show, I cover a lot of ground very quickly, so please have your pencils ready. Or better yet, if you missed something, you can just go back and listen to it again. I promise I won't tell anybody. By the way, folks, don't forget to check out the Facebook page at facebook.com/Joe's Daily U.S. History Lesson. And let me know what you think about today's episode. This is an interactive show, scholars, and your participation is highly encouraged and much appreciated. So thank you very much for that. I assembled this podcast from a tool shed in my backyard in La Mesa, California, right next to America's finest city, San Diego. If you're looking to move to the area, or if you have any questions about real estate, check out TeresaLovesRealEstate.com. Because as a full-service Encinitas and San Diego real estate professional, Teresa works with buyers, sellers, and investors in real estate transactions. So yeah, check it out, TeresaLovesRealEstate.com. And now let's begin the show as we normally do with the Pledge of Allegiance. Let's everybody stand up, face the flag if we have one, and put our right hands over our hearts and begin. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Booyah, America! And on to today's headlines, Teddy Roosevelt heads to Africa, the Stamp Act is passed, the first 3D printed The Pill gets FDA approved, and FDR changes the Volstead Act. So, let's get started. 1909, Rough Rider heads to Africa. Teddy Roosevelt, who ascended into the presidency after William McKinley was assassinated, decided not to run another term. After all, why should he? His successor, William Howard Taft, could easily beat William Jennings Bryan. Taft would carry out TR's trespassing policies, while Teddy began yet another chapter of his exciting life, and as soon as Taft was done with his inaugural speech, TR grabbed crew members from the Smithsonian and Nat Geo to head off to collect specimens. Together, they would collect 11,397 species for the Smithsonian and Museum of Natural History. Now, most scientists bring a notepad, measuring instruments, you know, specimen collecting cases. Rough Rider, on the other hand, brought a Holland double-barrel shotgun, Winchester 405 rifle, and an Army Springfield. Though Teddy Roosevelt had an outstanding reputation for being one of the most serious conservationists in American history, his conservation ideas apparently didn't apply towards animals, unless we're talking about animal population control. What this appeared to be was Teddy and his son Kermit Roosevelt competing for the most big game kills. At one point, they encountered a charging rhino. Teddy said, "Before he could get all the way around his headlong rush to reach us, I struck him with my left-hand barrel, the bullet entering between his neck and shoulders and piercing his heart. At the same instant, Captain Slatter fired, his bullet entering the neck vertebrae. Plowing up the ground with his horn and feet, the great bull rhino still headed towards us, dropped just 13 paces from where we stood." Unquote. In all, Teddy and his son would kill 512 big game, or basically anything that moved. Ranging from wildebeests, zebras, monkeys, snakes, lions and elephants, and pretty much everyone in between, Teddy slaughtered 296, while his son Kermit only got a disappointing 216. Even Ted Nugent couldn't believe he was outdone. But when Roosevelt returned to America, he was shocked to find out just how far Taft had strayed from Roosevelt's policies. Though he split up twice as many money trusts as Teddy had, he neglected to follow through and tended to give in. The Payne-Aldridge Act did little to lower tariffs as it was designed, and instead of rejecting it, Taft signed it, further separating himself from the Republican Party. When Taft fired Roosevelt's friend and Secretary of Interior Richard Ballinger, this proved to be the last straw in TR's faith in Taft. On a mission to stop him, he created the Bull Moose Party, which was a third party to challenge Democrat Woodrow Wilson and Republican Taft. The plan worked, and Taft would lose the next election to Wilson.
1765. The Stamp Act is passed by the Parliament of Great Britain that imposed direct tax on the colonies of British America and required that many printed materials in the colonies be produced on stamped paper produced in London, carrying a type of stamp receipt thing. This was mandatory for legal documents, magazines, playing cards, newspapers, and many other types of paper used throughout the colonies. Like other taxes, this one had to be paid with British money, not that paper money the colonies were using at the time. The British were victorious in the Seven Years' War, but needed to pay for it. So, this seemed like a good way to do that. The colonies also had to pay for what we Italians call protection, military support in this case from Britain, even though the colonists argued that they didn't have any foreign enemies and were perfectly fine protecting their own selves from the Native Americans. Anyway, the Stamp Act led to the popular slogan, "No taxation without representation," which further led to colonial assemblies, protests, and petitions against Parliament. It was a loose coalition of landowners and merchants called the Committees of Correspondence, and elsewhere grew the Sons of Liberty, who got violent. And next thing you know, all stamp tax distributors were intimidated into resigning their commissions, and the tax was never effectively collected, which is why the Committees of Correspondence and Sons of Liberty get our badass tribute of the day. Like a boss! The British pulled back on this one, but they did make it clear that the Crown still had the power to legislate for the colonies in all cases whatsoever, bypassing the Declaratory Act. And then came more taxes, and therefore more American colonial resistance, and the rest, as they say, is history.
2016, first 3D printed FDA approved pill becomes available. Aprecia Pharmaceuticals in Pennsylvania. 3D printed Spiritam tablets are used to treat epilepsy. According to Computer World, a new technology called ZipDose assembles layers upon layers of powdered medication using an aqueous gel, which makes a spongy, water-soluble environment that dissolves in liquid in just 4 seconds. Way faster than most over-the-counter pills. It was printed for the first time in July 2015.
And finally, on this date in 1933, FDR switches up the 18th Amendment, aka the Volstead Act. Okay, class, this is the part where you pop open your beers and uncork the champagne.
And that is all, my friends, for February 22nd on Joe's Daily U.S. History Lesson. Once again, I am your host, Joseph DiCristoforo. And on tomorrow's program,
I'll talk about the Louisville Slugger, plus the Pet Rock,
the Battle of Kernstown and the Civil War, the 1998 Grammys, Curt Schilling will retire from baseball, and a quick note on USA for Africa. So until then, check out the website, joesdailyushistorylesson.com. Yes, let me know what you think. Leave a comment on the board. What was your favorite Louis L'Amour book? Did Truman take the Cold War threat too seriously? Or whatever else is on your mind? You can follow me on Facebook and Twitter, or email me at decristoforoj@gmail.com. So until tomorrow, thanks for being great patriotic Americans, everyone. See you then.